So last week we read where Peter told us that we should live with joyful expectations. Thinking about what is to come for us, we should really be glad about that. We should anticipate that with great and joyful expectations. That's what hope is defined as. We have great expectations because of the things that God has done for us through Jesus. In today's reading, right after what we looked at last week, Peter tells us that while we should have great expectations of what is to come, there are some expectations that are placed on each one of us. God expects us and calls us to live holy lives. We are called in this word and in other places to live holy lives. Now, for us, being holy is not the same as God's holiness. We know that. It's not holy in the sense that we can live in sinless perfection. We know that we are going to make mistakes. In 1 John, John wrote that if we claim that we don't have any sin, we're only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, then his blood continually, and we're faithful, his blood continually cleanses us from all wickedness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and we show him that his word has no place in our hearts. So he's not saying that. We are sinless in the sense that Jesus removes our sins from us. But we're not saying that we are perfect. No, holy in this sense that we are called to live is different. It means that we are consecrated, is that word that would be used so much in the Old Testament. Set apart. Called to live a different life. Our lives, we live our lives not for ourselves, but for God because of what he has done for us. Jackie brought up a word in his class that sometimes has a negative connotation in today's world, piety. If we talk about living a pious life, or if we say that someone is pious, a lot of times we think we take that as a negative or a pejorative, like, oh, they're a pious. They think they're greater than everybody else, holier than thou. But really, in the sense of the word that it's intended to be, piety is just obedience. Living a life of piety means I'm going to live differently because of what God has done for me. He has called me to live in a different sense. And that's all Peter is talking about in this letter. He tells us in the first part of this passage that we read today to prepare your minds and live in self-control. Prepare for what is to come. And remember, he is preparing the people who would originally read this letter for a bunch of suffering that's about to come their way. We need to prepare our minds for any suffering that can come along, or also any success that can come along, because if we don't handle it well, it can be a curse. So we need to prepare our minds and exercise self-control and set our lives apart from this world. So I put some fill-in-the-blank lines in your bulletin, and he tells us some reasons, and four reasons that I pulled from this, and there's so much that you may pull other things from this lesson, but some of the things that I pulled from this: we are called to live holy lives, and we should live holy lives and dedicate our lives to God's calling because we are his children. Verse 14 says that very clearly. We are his children. And in other places, so many places in Scripture, it compares us and calls us as God's children. Verse 14, he says, you must live your lives as God's obedient children. In 1 John chapter 3, in the first three verses, it says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that's what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. So when we're obeying him, we're not doing it so he will adopt us. We were baptized into Christ, and that's when he adopted us. Now our obedience is not so that he will claim us. It's because he claims us. Since we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Now, if there's not something for you to have some joyful expectation in anticipation of, I don't know what is. But we will be finally like him, and we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. So if we have that expectation of what's coming, knowing that we're going to meet Jesus one day, and we are, we're going to meet him in judgment, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. If we know that we're going to sit at his feet in worship and we're going to see him as he is, and we know that he fully knows us, then we should keep ourselves pure because we are his children. Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember at least one and probably many times when my mother and or my father, when I was about to go on a band trip or a, you know, whatever, I was leaving their realm for a while, remember getting that little lecture. Remember who you are. You've had that. You've heard that lecture. Remember who you are and who you represent. You represent this family. You carry this name. So it's not only remember who you are, but remember whose you are. You know, you're my child, you're my son, and I want you to act a certain way. That's what we're told to do as God's children. We are his, and we should act like it. Our actions are a reflection on him. If we claim to be made in his image, then we need to be careful of the image that we project and we reflect out in the world. You know the old saying, like father, like son. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, as they said, or some. My dad would usually say the nut usually doesn't fall too far from the tree. And are we reflecting who our true father really is? Jesus was very good about that. He says it over and over and showed it in his life. I'm doing my father's work. I have to be in my father's house. It's not my time. My father hasn't called me yet. There's so many ways that he was reflecting who his father really was. And that's why he was able to say to the apostles, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. If we are his obedient children and we are a reflection of his image, when people look at us, do they see him? That's a tall order, but we are called to live up to that as best we can. So live as obedient children with your minds prepared and with self-control, one of those fruits of the Spirit. The second reason that we are called, or we should live our lives as holy lives, in verse 16, the Scripture tells us to. Not only here in Peter's letter, but over and over it says in different places that we are called to be holy. Peter quotes Leviticus 19:2, where God says to the people, "You must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And again, we can't measure up to that degree of holiness, but if we are his children and we present ourselves to him, we should live differently. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to this world. We talked about this Wednesday night. Don't let the world pour you into its mold. You live differently. I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And remember what sacrifices, when they chose an animal from the herd, from the flock, that had to be presented as a sacrifice to God, it was always from the first fruits, right? It had to be pure and perfect, no blemishes on it. They gave him their very best. When the crops came in, the very first fruits of the crop, the very best that came in, those were what they offered to God. That's what he said. I want you to offer yourselves as the first fruits, as the best that you have to offer. Bring yourself to God and present your body, your actions, everything that you do as a living sacrifice to God, holy, set apart, and acceptable. Jesus talked about this holiness in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart," not just in their actions, but in their hearts. Because if our heart is right, our actions will follow, right? But it's out of the heart that our actions flow. So be pure in heart. Set your heart apart. Guard your heart. He also told Nicodemus in John's gospel that we saw that we have to be reborn. And that's not just the fact that we are reborn in baptism, as Ben is going to be due today. He will be reborn. He will die to his old self and he will raise up from that grave. But he also has to start to think now, we have to think not from a worldly perspective, but from that perspective of above, that spiritual perspective. Jesus also said, "Be perfect as your Father is perfect." That one is a hard one. being perfect as our Father is perfect. But when he says perfect, the word, I had to go back and look, and I'm thankful for, I use the Blue Letter Bible, which is a great online tool. You can look up every word in a text, and you can go back to the Greek or the Hebrew, and you can say, what does that word mean? When it says perfect here, the word is completed. You are made perfect in Jesus. Jesus completed you in your baptism. So now, no matter what else you do in your life, you may grow, you're going to continue to grow spiritually. You may do other things in your life, but you were completed. You were made right in your baptism because of the work of Jesus. So when Jesus says, be perfect, be completed, just as your Father is perfect and completed. So Scripture tells us, and I just chose a few different places. You can find many, many more places where we are called to live holy, consecrated, set apart lives. The third reason that we should live a holy life, and this one, if the others don't motivate you, this one should. A judgment is coming. A judgment is coming. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, we all have Jesus Christ as the foundation that we build our lives on. But on it's what we build on that foundation, that's what we're going to be judged by. He says, on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. If it doesn't, there is a judgment. So you can hear people say all the time, hey, you can talk about works and faith, and just my faith. All you got to do is have faith. All you got to do is have faith to become a child of God, but God requires more of that once we put on Jesus in baptism. He requires us to build something on that foundation. What is the work that we are doing to prove and show that we are workmen in his kingdom? It's not for our salvation or to receive the salvation of Jesus, but it is to build on what he has given us. And if we don't build on it, we're going to face a judgment. If we don't live a life that is holy and set apart, we will answer for that. We also heard in our study of John on Wednesday nights, Jesus himself said, there is a judge for everyone who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them on the last day. So if we listen to the words of Jesus, but we don't accept them and we don't put them into practice, then we are rejecting him. And Jesus says we will be judged by that. So what are some of the things that Jesus called us to do if we are his followers? Well, he called us to be salt and light in the world. Salt and light. Now, salt can preserve, as we all know, or it can irritate. You can use salt to cure. Harley was talking about making jerky this morning. You got to put some salt in there or it's not going to be preserved. Back before refrigeration, Frank, you guys would hang a ham in the smokehouse. You'd have to have it wrapped in salt, right? Put that salt in there to keep it preserved and not let anything cause it to rot. Salt used properly can preserve. Salt used improperly, thrown in somebody's eyes or poured in the wound, can be an irritant. If we're going to be salt in the world, we can either preserve or we can be irritants to everybody. We want to be the kind of salt that preserves, that makes things taste better, makes things last longer and not be that irritant. Light is the same way. Light can show people the way in a dark situation. Light can be the lighthouse on a rocky point to save the ships from hitting the rocks. Or you can be the flashlight that goes around and shines in everybody's eyes and just be an irritant. It's not good. Now, sometimes we know the word says that darkness hates the light. Sometimes by showing the way, you're going to irritate some people. Be ready for that. But don't go out of your way trying to be that irritant to people. Jesus calls us to be salt and light in the world. And if we're blending in with the darkness, if we're blending in with the things that are wrong in this world, we're neither salt nor light. And he said, if the salt has lost its saltiness, it's no good except to be thrown out and used for gravel in the parking lot. In Matthew 25, Jesus also talks in a real practical sense about what it means to follow his words. He gives this picture of Judgment Day, and he says there's going to be a time when the Lord's going to say, depart from me because I didn't know you. And you didn't, I was in the hospital and you didn't come to see me. I was in prison and you didn't come to visit me. I was sick, you didn't come to visit me. I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And they said, when did we ever see you that way? He said, whenever you've seen the least of these, my brethren, and you didn't or did do this, that's how you're going to be judged. So if we believe Jesus and take him at his word, then we're going to be out there taking care of strangers, visiting the sick, visiting people in prison, and being salt and light in that kind of way. Because a judgment is coming and we will be held accountable for our actions. Finally, the fourth point on why we should live holy lives. The price that was paid for us was high. It was extremely high. Verses 18 and through 21 in the text today. He said, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you. And you pay a ransom to somebody who has been kidnapped, right? Well, we had been kidnapped by Satan in a sense of the word. And there was no way that we could get ourselves out of that situation. But God stepped in and paid a ransom for us. And it was not paid with just gold or silver, which loses their value. It was with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. A huge price. God gave his only son to ransom us from our situation. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul said this, you don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price, a high price. So you must honor God with your body. We go around, you know, our human nature is to say, it's my life. I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. It's my life. Leave me alone. Right. There was a Billy Joel song. It's my life. Leave me alone. But that's not what Paul says. You don't belong to yourself. We gave ourselves to Jesus because he ransomed us from Satan, from being in that lost state. So we don't belong to ourselves anymore, and we should live like it. We should live with an eternal gratitude for the one who was willing to pay so much to redeem us. I also looked at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, and I think I put this in the bulletin. Revelation 5, go back and read that whole chapter. Now, don't get bogged down in the imagery of the beast with the multiple eyes and all of that sort of thing. But just read through Revelation 5 and just soak in the majesty of God, the glory that is being due to Jesus Christ. Part of that in Revelation 5 says, I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and the scroll was sealed with seven seals. I mean, it was seven seals means it's completely locked up. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it? But no one in heaven, no one on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. And John says, then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop crying. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, that's Jesus, he has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. And then I saw the lamb that looked like it had been slaughtered, but it was standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He stepped forward and he took that scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders all fell down before that lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people, your prayers. And they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. Just like Jackie talked about in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Revelation 5 is just a wonderful time to go back and reflect on just what Jesus has done for us and how great it really is. Even in heavens, the worship for him is so great because he deserves that worship. He is worthy of it because he was the only one who could save us, and he did, and he was chosen before the foundation of time. Yes, we have great expectations of things to come, but we also have great expectations that are placed on us. We should live holy and set apart lives here and now. I couldn't help but think about it, and you've probably seen the movie and you've heard me talk about it before, Saving Private Ryan. It's such a wonderful movie, a Steven Spielberg movie, and maybe my favorite of the ones of his that I've seen. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, if you haven't seen it, there is a family, there are four brothers who are fighting in World War II. It's right after the invasion of Normandy. We've lost so many lives, American lives, in that time frame. And there is one woman who has four boys fighting over there. Three of them die within days of each other, and their mother is set to receive the telegrams for the death of all three boys on the same day. And the general who's in charge of the army says, "Go get the fourth boy. That's all we can offer this mother in any kind of gratitude, is to save her final son." So they get a unit of eight men together, and they said, "Go." They have to go into Central Europe and find him, first of all, and amid all the chaos of war, and bring him home to his mother. And in the course of that whole fight to go find Private Ryan and get him out, only two of those eight survive. And the captain, who is played by Tom Hanks, in one of the closing scenes of the movie, as he is dying from a wound that he receives getting Private Ryan out of the country, he grabs Private Ryan by the shirt and he says two words: "Earn this. Earn this." And so the final scene is Private Ryan as an old man visiting the graves of the men who saved him, getting him out of the fighting. We can't earn the salvation that Jesus has offered to us, but over and over through Scripture, we are told that we should live lives that are worthy of what he has done for us. Paul talked about it in Philippians. Live lives that are worthy of the gospel. Live lives that show your appreciation for what Jesus has done for you. Live a life every day knowing and reflecting on what he has done for us and doing the best that we can to show our appreciation for it. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for these words from Peter that remind us of the joyful expectations that we should have in this life, but also of the expectations that you have of us, Father. You've done so much for us. The least that we can do is to dedicate our lives to following you, being obedient children with our minds prepared and living in self-control. So, Father, give us the wisdom to see the ways that we can be salt and light, and the courage to do it when it's inconvenient or when we are even persecuted for it. Father, help us to know that the judgment is coming and that we one day, Father, will stand before Jesus, the one who was that lamb slaughtered for us. And we can do so, Father, with great expectations. Thank you, Father, for Jesus and his sacrifice. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.